No matter where you are, it's Texas Standard Time on this 13th day of April, 2026. I'm David Brown. Hope your Monday's going well. Things have not been going particularly well for the Trump administration these past 48 to 72 hours. A high-stakes diplomatic push to end the six-week war with Iran has collapsed after marathon talks in Pakistan. More than 20 hours of negotiations this weekend ended with no deal, no breakthrough, and both sides digging in on this Monday. Vice President J.D. Vance, who led the U.S. delegation, says Iran refused core demands, including a commitment not to pursue nuclear weapons. It also refused to reopen the Strait of Hormuz, one of the world's most critical choke points, especially for shipments of oil. Meanwhile, military tensions are simmering. The U.S. has launched a blockade on all traffic entering and leaving Iranian ports in the strait, while Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, the IRGC, has vowed to retaliate. And the U.S. president, publicly at least, is downplaying all this, saying a deal might not matter at all. What are we left with? Well, a war without a clean off-ramp, clearly. Rising global economic pressure. A White House facing fresh questions about its strategy, what leverage it has, and what comes next. And for more, we're joined by Jeremy Suri, an historian and Mack Brown Distinguished Chair for Leadership in Global Affairs, History, Public Policy at the University of Texas at Austin. Professor Suri, welcome back.
Good to be with you, David.
All right, so we were in a ceasefire. Where are we now? Is there still a ceasefire, or is that history?
It looks like the ceasefire is holding just barely, which is to say that the United States is not undertaking bombing or other operations on any scale in Iran as it was for the prior month. And Iran is not firing at U.S. facilities or U.S. allied facilities in Saudi Arabia, Oman, and elsewhere as it was. But as you said, the Strait of Hormuz is essentially closed or closely regulated by the Iranians in a way it wasn't before the war. And the Iranian government that is in place looks as radical as the one before, and the Iranians still have their nuclear materials. So the sources of conflict are still there, and although this is a ceasefire, it's nowhere near a peace settlement of any kind.
All right. Well, is there any opportunity for the two sides to get back together and continue talking, or is that pointless? Because the sticking points that J.D. Vance was talking about there, that's central to Iran's position, has been.
Yes. I don't think the United States is going to get its maximalist aims at the negotiating table. But I do think there are things to talk about. We've had negotiations with Iran going all the way back to the Obama administration. It was many of the people around Donald Trump who criticized those negotiations. But those negotiations have been about things such as limiting, not eliminating, Iran's nuclear capability, about managing international flows of oil, which had been sanctioned from Iran before. And also another topic that came up in the discussions, resources, money from Iran that has been held in the United States since 1979 that the Iranians would like returned. There are many areas where there could be compromise. The question is, are both sides willing to accept compromises on these issues?
What kind of compromise can you make on nukes when it comes to we've now had this bombing campaign against Iran. There was the previous campaign last year. How much room is there for any serious negotiation on that?
Well, I think there should be negotiation, and the deal that President Obama had negotiated is controversial. It had its problems, but it was probably going in the right direction. It would be a classic non-proliferation agreement, which would be an agreement where Iran would continue to have access to nuclear materials, but would pledge to be verifiably short of what it would take to make a nuclear bomb. They want to have that material, they say, for energy purposes. We know it's also for defense purposes. But they did agree before not to actually create a nuclear bomb. And many other countries are in this situation. South Korea, for example, has nuclear materials, but has pledged not to make a bomb from those materials.
Right, but two different leadership structures, most certainly. But let's back up, because we don't have much time here. What are next steps? We're seeing gas prices now above the $100 mark once again. So those aren't going back down anytime soon, it seems. What are next steps?
Well, the Strait of Hormuz must be reopened for the global economy. As you said so well, David, 20% of the world's oil natural gas, but other things, materials related to fertilizer, for example, that farmers in the Midwest need go through there. And the increased costs will bring a global recession. We're moving in that direction. When the war began, the strait was opened. Now the strait is largely closed. It must be opened, and there must be some way to get there. And then the second thing is the bombing cannot go on forever. It's too costly for the United States. We were paying more than $1 billion a day. So doing what we did for the last month is not sustainable. So we need to come to some solution around those two issues.
Jeremy Suri, historian, Mack Brown Distinguished Chair for Leadership in Global Affairs, History, Public Policy, University of Texas at Austin. Professor, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.